Okay, gotta loosen up.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And prayer take two.
Brothers and sisters, let us continue to worship the Lord with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come into your presence this day to worship you with all that we are. We thank you for always being our provider, and we thank you for your provisions upon our lives each and every day. You give us a reason to rejoice and sing your praises. Even for the breath of life in every beat of our heart, God, we can come into your presence to give thanks and praise to you for who you are, and thank you that we are who we are because of the grace of God. We thank you for a new day where your mercies are made new, and we thank you that you're a God of compassion who meets us where we are. So we unite our hearts today to worship you, to honor you, and to glorify your name. And Father, we take this time to pray for Pastor Laird Crump from the Campus Church. God, in light of all the struggles that they face, in a difficult time like this, we pray for the anointing upon him, that you would give him creativity and innovative strategies to work through this difficult time. We pray, God, that you would give clarity and direction, and also that you would bring forth blessing upon the congregants, that they would be united in a time like this, that they would not be given into frustration, that they would not be given into despair or anxiety, but rather that they would have that Christ-like character through this difficult time, that they would fully trust in you, that they would rely upon your strength, and that they would seek you and be patient in a time like this. Father, watch over them and continue to protect them and preserve their health. We pray that you guard them from any enemy's schemes to tear them down, and that you would raise them up as a beacon of hope for the community at large, and that they would touch the hearts of the multitudes and be blessed immeasurably by your truth and by your grace. And Father, we also pray for the Inkalink ministry in Peru. God, we pray for your grace to anoint the teachings and the Sunday school classes and the educational programs. We pray, God, that the grace of our Lord and Savior would be made known to every brother and sister there, to all the children and the families, that they would be touched by your unconditional love, that they would know the one true and living God. We pray that they would not be given in to the temptations of this world or the lies of the enemy, that they would know our God of truth, that they would know our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, and our everlasting God as their refuge, as their strength in time of need. So bless them abundantly with resources and let it overflow. Let it overflow to the community there. And may you touch the hearts of the people so that they too would touch the hearts of their friends, their family, neighbors, and strangers to love even their enemies the way that you love us. So Father, we trust that your love would be made known in and through them, and that you would raise up instruments of righteousness to testify to your grace to the ends of the earth. And Father, our hearts are grieved as we think about the passing of Reverend Robert Gould. God, we come to you with wordless groans, with inexpressible pain, and yet we come into your presence to give thanks because of the memories that we have cherished with Robert Gould. We thank you for the legacy that he has left behind and the testimony of your love, of your grace, of your faith in and through him. He has been a good and faithful servant, and he is in your presence today, even as we speak, and we rejoice and give thanks to you in the presence of angels because of all that he has done and because of all that you have done in and through him. We thank you for the testimony of grace. We thank you for his devotion. We thank you for his relentless determination to follow you through and through, to be faithful to the very end, and that he would finish well. So, Father, we thank you for the life that he lived and how he has continued to be a testimony to not only to the Summit family, but to the community at large and to the ends of the earth. He has done a mighty work, and you have done a powerful work in and through him. And we rejoice together as one family of God. And we thank you for his faithfulness throughout the years and we remember him dearly in our hearts. And Father, we pray for the Gould family in this time, especially Luella and Jerry. We pray for your healing upon them. We pray not only for restoration for their body, but also restoration for their soul. We pray, God, that you would invigorate them and give them new strength like the days of their youth, that you would restore them in their sickbed, that you sustain them in their bed of illness. We pray that you would heal them from any illness, sickness, or disease, and that you guard them from any enemy attack, and that you would purify their hearts in a time like this, God, that they would fully trust in you and not be given in to despair or even fear. We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to shun evil is the beginning of understanding. So we come to you this day with hearts wide open to plead for your mercy, to show us your mighty hand, to reach out to them with your outstretched arm to heal them in body, soul, and spirit. May they be kept blameless until the day of your return, and may they be blessed immeasurably, and satisfy them with long life, God, as you show them the outpouring of your love and your mercy through times like this. Bless them with that perfect peace that comes from knowing you and trusting in you through and through. Father, we come to you to pray also for the message today through Pastor Jerry. We pray that you would speak to our hearts in and through him, and the lessons that he has learned throughout the years, God, that you would speak to us directly into our hearts. No matter where we are in our situation, no matter what circumstance we face, we pray that you would use your faithful servant to speak directly into our hearts and inspire us, God. Encourage our hearts in our time of desperate need as we come into your presence this day to give to you all of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I want to greet all of you who are listening today, and I want to thank you for joining us. We trust that what is shared here today and what you've experienced in this entire service will be a blessing to your heart. It's going to be a little different today. As many of you know, my father passed away this week, and as I've been reflecting, instead of starting our new series, I thought, you know, Dad was pretty special to the heart of Summit, and Summit was pretty special in the heart of Dad. He was actually part of our congregation for a number of years. When he wasn't preaching somewhere else, he was here, and he engaged in the life of our church. He loved the people. He really became a part of this Summit family. And I know from many of the notes and the cards and the calls that you have given this past week that he touched many of your lives. Dad was always very interested in what was going on at Summit, and I think the whole frustration over our land access bothered him more than it bothered me. And I had the privilege of being able to sit with him in the solarium just a number of weeks ago, as we got to give the good news that all of the legal documentation was signed. And I could just, Dad sitting beside me, and he would just say, "Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. This is wonderful." And he was so longing to be a part of the dedication of our church building, our new church home. And instead of being there, in body, he'll have to be there in spirit when that time comes. Today, instead of really preaching, I just wanted to talk from the heart today, if that's okay with you. But to frame where we're going to go today, I wanted to read a verse of scripture that I actually found in a file that I was reading this past week. In the last 6 months, Dad's handwriting wasn't terribly steady, but it was very, very clear, this verse, and I took a picture of it. And the verse from the ESV version, he wrote this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. He said, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing." The memory of the righteous is a blessing. And we all have memories of all kinds of people in our lives, some of which do not bring blessing to us. But it is my privilege, and it's been an incredible gift to be able to sit here today and to share with you the blessing as we think about my father. And so today I just wanted to talk to you about him and the lessons I've learned in my life. Now, as I began to do this, a flood of them this week have been coming to my mind, but so many of them had to do with ministry. And I realized how much Dad had given me little insights about being a pastor and about ministry and leading. But I want to kind of stay away from all of that this morning. Maybe there's going to be some time where I can share that with people in ministry in particular. But what I wanted to share is what I learned from Dad. And I would like to frame it, because of his connection with our church, in language you're going to find very familiar in our discipleship framework. So I'd like to just place it within that context. The first thing is obviously that Dad lived a very responsive relationship to God. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. He wasn't always a believer. But some events happened in my grandparents' lives, both of which were alcoholics and heavy drinkers. And my dad had a sister who jumped out in front of a large oil tanker accidentally. She just was going to chase something and was crushed right in front of their home. And that event, as awful and tragic as it was, ended up being catalytic for causing my grandfather to say one day, unannounced to the entire family, as Dad tells the story, that we need to go to church. And so they went. And on the sixth time in church, the pastor that was speaking there gave an invitation. And my grandma and grandpa got up and walked to the front. And Dad tells the story that from that night when they got off their knees, they never touched another drop of alcohol in their lives. I mean, it was so bad that they drank everything away. And my dad tells a story that he got his first pair of store-bought underwear when he was 12 years old, after mom and dad, their grandma and grandpa, had given their lives to Jesus and stopped drinking. And this was how bad it was. And the changes that began to happen in my grandparents, and my father then responded as well. And he was led to Christ personally by the pastor. And I remember Dan telling the story. The pastor says to him, I think he led him to Christ on like a Thursday. And he said, so on Sunday, you're going to be baptized in front of the church. And Dad was just petrified. As in, back in those days, he didn't have very much self-esteem. And although he was an incredible athlete, the effects of growing up in the home he did, he had very little self-esteem. And but Dad said something to me I'll never forget. And so for some of you, if you feel like you've been pressured to be baptized by me, this is where it came from. He said, Jerry, as scared as I was, that planted a flag in my life. It planted a flag, and I never looked back of doing something like that and declaring myself as a follower of Jesus. Well, that was amazing, and Dad grew up living this responsive relationship with God. And so I wanted to frame this today by way of three things. First of all, that Dad was a man who grew in faith. Dad grew in faith. Now, it seems pretty simplistic at the beginning, but let me unpack this. When I think of Dad's spiritual life, there were so many things that oozed out for him. The first thing was, I had an absolutely incredible gift that not all people have, especially all men, and that is to have a father that represented and really helped reveal what God the Father was like. My dad was a consistent man. He loved deeply. He expressed that love in his words, told us often that he loved us. I'll never forget, just even in the final days when I was with him, kneeling by his bedside, telling him how much I love him, and he would just look me in the eyes and he would say, "I love you too, Jerry." And to grow up with a heritage where you were told often that you were loved, and then to express that. And some of you, you know, you've got the byproduct of my dad expressing love and affection in hugging and all of that. And it was just such a meaningful thing. When I think of the imprint of what God is like, I think of my dad. And yes, he disciplined me. Absolutely, he did. And but he always told me why. And the punishment always fit the crime. But there's always this wonderful thing that occurred afterwards, and that was that Dad would always make sure that I knew that he loved me. When I was young, this came out in particular. I was one of my mentors, Martin Sanders, asked me a question one day. He said, "Jerry, what does forgiveness smell like?" And I thought, that's an odd question. But he wouldn't let it go. And he just looked at me and waited for me to answer. So I began to think, and all of a sudden the answer came to me. And I said, "Forgiveness smells like Old Spice." Because I remember being a young kid after doing something wrong, and Dad would discipline me appropriately. I knew why. But then he would go and he'd sit in his kind of this old vinyl yellow sort of a lazy boy type chair, and he'd call me over and I'd crawl up on his lap and I'd bury my head in his chest. And he would put his arm around me and he'd affirm me, let me know he loved me, and I would just be smelling Old Spice. And I go, that's what forgiveness smells like. I had a father who loved me and was a man who shaped my life deeply. Dad was very Christ-like. I think about his life. He really was very much like Jesus. And what I love about him is that he didn't just grow in faith in his early days. Well, I love that Dad continued to grow, continued to learn, continued to read the scripture, continued to ask the Holy Spirit for insight. He would read Christian books. He would try to understand new concepts. And he was a person who continued to grow. But when I see that he became like Jesus in his character, I think immediately of his humility. My dad never tried to tilt towards self-aggrandizement. He didn't try to self-promote. He just was a heart of a servant. I remember this scene. Dad had just finished being district superintendent for 23 or 24 years. And the first time we flew over to Bangkok, because he then went as an international worker to the Evangelical Church of Bangkok. And I remember sitting there one Sunday morning, my first Sunday morning there, I was up on the fourth floor, I had a coffee, and I was down and I was looking out over the whole compound where the church was. And here I see my dad. I can see the sweat in his shirt because he went and moved all of these cars from their cars and cars from the workers and everyone else so that it would be more convenient for others to come and park there. Then I watched him walk around that parking lot, bending down, picking up pieces of garbage. And I remember looking down at that scene. And I said, "God, give me that kind of humility." And I'll never forget it as long as I live, because it didn't matter to Dad. He didn't try to prop up who he was by his achievements. He was just a humble man who loved to serve God. He really focused on purity. And in light of all that's happening in our world and Christian leaders, I just cannot tell you how thankful I am that Dad finished well and finished faithful. He would say to me, Jerry, your integrity is everything as a pastor. And he pursued a pure life in his thoughts. Reading some of the notes that he has in his files and knowing our conversations and hearing stories about his ethical and moral purity, Dad was a man who pursued that. It was God's will, and he pursued it. He would warn me about the dangers of Vanity Fair, and we'll be learning about that this summer as a church. But he said it wasn't just, he used to quote a guy named, someone named Forsyth, and he would say that, living a pure life is not just the suppression of sensuality. He says it's the reorientation of your whole life towards a different goal, and that was towards holiness and righteousness. And that really, really stuck out to me. Dad was a man of integrity. He would say to me so often, guard your heart. Guard your heart, Jerry. He would say, don't toy with temptation. And so it's with incredible pride in my heart that I look to my father who finished well. He became Christ-like in his character. And he arranged his life around these practices we talk about that actually helped to do that. My father, I remember seeing him from the earliest times I remember. I could watch him reading the scripture, studying the scripture. And he read it, applied it, shaped his thinking, his attitudes. He obeyed it, and he trusted it. He trusted the Word of God. And he arranged his life around the practice of meeting with God in his word. He was a man of prayer. He was always praying. He prayed every morning, every night. Before we would leave any family gathering, he would get us to stand around in a circle or sit around together. He prayed for our church. Summit, you know how much my dad prayed for you and for us? It was astounding. We'd be at a cottage, Leah and I would be laying there at night, and we would hear Dad praying with Mom every night. He was a man of prayer. But it wasn't just the speaking to God, as we've been learning in our church, and it is fascinating to start reading things in some files that he was practicing listening to God before it was ever popular. And he would listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I remember I had just finished graduating high school. We had moved to Burlington, Ontario. And Dad was the district superintendent. And I remember during this journey, as he was a DS, he needed a new secretary. And I sat him one day, one evening, he was sitting out by the pool area. And he looked very contemplative. And I just happened to ask him what was going on. And he said that he had to hire a new secretary. And I said, I got two candidates, but I've been praying about it, and I think I got my answer. And he told me afterwards, after he made his hire, I said, who did you choose and why? And he told me. And I said, why her? And he said, they were both very, very competent people. But as I was praying about it, the Holy Spirit brought a scripture to me to care for the widow and the orphan. And he said that one of the candidates was a widow. And so he hired her because he was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and was willing to be led by him. Dad was a worshiper. He arranged his life around worship. He never missed church if he could possibly help it. We're on holidays. We would find a church somewhere. And Dad was a worshiper. He was not a great singer. Let's just be real. Some of you have sat beside him. You know that to be true. But he sang with enthusiasm. He always used to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I do that. I get the joy, you get the noise. But he never stopped. He would try to sing and sing parts. He was an incredible worshiper of God. It came out in his prayers, came out in his conversation, it came out in his life, and it came out when the church gathered. Yeah, he grew in faith, and he was very Christ-like. I can't not talk about his generosity. Dad believed the scripture that said it was more blessed to give than to receive. And Dad gave. He was one of the most giving, generous people I've ever known. In a recent sermon, I've talked to you about his practice about giving to the church. But on top of all of that, Dad had a passion to just give. We could never pay for a meal and an event or an outing. But he talked to me privately and he said, Jerry, as a pastor, he said, pay for people. He said, your people serve, they give, they put energy into your church. He said, too many pastors just go for a lunch with them and expect them to pay. He said, you pay every time. And especially if you're taking other pastors or denominational leaders out. But you pay for your church. And he just never let, stories coming out, and he would go to meet with different pastors or be in their homes as he was a district superintendent. And it was not a rare occasion. He would do this often. When he would leave, he would leave a gift. Or he'd give an envelope with money, and he'd make sure that he and that pastor would take his wife out and have a good evening or a date or get a getaway. He was a man who was generous beyond belief. And I guess just to finish this whole portion is, the older Dad got, contrary to many people who lose their inhibitions, the older Dad got, the more loving, the more sensitive, the more gentle, and the more kind he became. He was not a critical old man. And I'm so thankful for that. He wasn't negative. And I think that's the way that Jesus would want us to live. Dad not only grew in faith, but he was a man who loved in community. Many of you, as you're listening to me, you know the love that he showed to you. He expressed that to you. Dad just loved people. There was just no two ways about it. He loved people. And I've heard this many, many times, even from the funeral director for where we're going to have our funeral, because he observed Dad just even this past calendar year doing a funeral there. And he said, I've never seen anyone work a room like your father. He just loves people. We at Summit, week by week, you know that to be true when he was here. He just walked around meeting you, loving you, getting to know you, encouraging. That's just who Dad was. And I must say, Dad loved people from other nations. We grew up in a home where that was true. And so Dad here at Summit loved all the gathering of the nations. He really modeled for me and for us God's heart for the world. And he would say to me this. He would say, Jerry, invest in relationships. Invest in relationships. Life's richest blessings on earth are found in your friends and in people. We would observe the early group of district superintendents that he was a part of and how much fun they had and the friendships they built. Colleagues and pastors, church members, he would initiate friendship and he loved them. I got this note from an international worker who said these words and I had to write them down. He said, when I was in Asia, I find myself very, very ill and deep migraine headaches. And he says, your dad drove for many hours to come to see me. And he sat there by my bed and massaged my head with those big hands and prayed fervently. And he went on to say that he sensed the Christ-like compassion and had such a strong sense of the presence of God because of Dad. He would drive 3 hours to do that just to minister to somebody. He invested. He wasn't afraid when he went to Bangkok, there was a woman in the church whose husband was one of the biggest developers in the entire city, international developers. And he wasn't very friendly to pastors, especially. And when Dad had asked his wife, this man's wife said, no, don't go see him. He doesn't really like pastors. And so Dad just didn't tell anybody, sucked it up, and he went and walked into that hospital room, knocked on the door. And the guy looked at him up and down. Dad was telling me the story. And he said, so-and-so, he said, my name is Pastor Bob from ECB, and I hear you're not well. And he says, I'd like to get to know you, and I'd love to pray for you. And that started a friendship that went for many, many years. And this man said to me at dinner one night, in his Armenian accent, I love your father. He said, a straight shooter. I love straight shooters. But he had a way to relate to the prominent and the poor. And that's what I loved about Dad. He didn't play partiality. He said that relationships are not always easy. And Dad taught me that the church, by its very nature, is prone to conflict. But if you can understand that and get by that, then you can begin to learn to apply and help your church to walk through that and to begin to live together in love. He was the first one that taught me, hurting people hurt people. He said, the problem is so many people can't get next to them, or they're too afraid, or they just don't take the time to get next to those people to really, you know, endure what they had to endure initially to be able to get underneath to find out what really is going on in their lives. And this statement he said to me all the time, he said, Jerry, you need thick skin and a warm heart. You need thick skin and a warm heart. And that seemed to embody my dad. He lived that out. And he modeled for me the teaching in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, having thus such a fond affection for you, we shared with you not only the gospel, but our very lives as well. And that influenced and impacted my life. Dad loved people. He was an encourager. And he just loved to bless, to build into, to see people flourish. And that was my father. I watched him do that with my mom. And I watched him do it with us. I watched him do it with people in his church. I got a phone call from my good friend Sundar. And he said, you know, your dad, you know, in one of the flagship churches in his district, he believed in a layman walking straight into the pulpit. And he was my biggest supporter. And he said immediately he justified my ministry by his belief in me. And that was the heart of Dad. He loved to do so. Dad grew in faith. He loved in community. And finally, I'll just end with this, that he served in mission. I watched Dad serve in the mission of Jesus to strengthen the church and expand the kingdom of God. And he gave his entire life to it. Yes, he did that in his professional role as a pastor, as a district superintendent. He longed to see the kingdom come and mission just explode. In his years as a district superintendent, over 65 churches were planted in his district. Many of them initiated from him and from the district in the days when it was more popular for the district to start the church than rather churches starting churches. And I'm blown away how many churches are in existence today because of his initiative. He had a servant's heart. He served in mission and he served. I watched Dad just serve people. We talked about this from Bangkok. But he gave his entire life, not just professionally. And it was so amazing to me. His dad was an incredible athlete. He was a phenomenal athlete. He was on like 3 years or in a row of provincial finalists in baseball. He was basketball champions in his whole region and in the province. But he was a hockey player. And many people don't know this, that he actually played on the major junior A team for the Chicago Blackhawks, and God called him to ministry, and he walked away. He told me the story. He doesn't like to talk about it too much. He didn't, but he took his jersey and went into the manager's office and laid it on his desk. And he said that God had called him to the ministry. And then he gave his entire life to serve God as a pastor and as a district superintendent and an international worker. But not just that in his roles. He personally engaged in the mission. He loved to share the good news and the love of Jesus Christ. The gospel was always on his tongue. He was always looking for opportunity to be able to share Christ with people. You know, in his condo where he moved, I just watched this play out. When he first moved there, there was many, many Jewish people living there. And he would engage in conversations. And one couple said this. He said, "You know more about our religion than we do." And he helped them and he tried to talk to them and how Jesus, you know, came out of the Jewish nation and fulfilled all that was promised to them. I think he had what I call the hot tub ministry. I'd love to sit in the hot tub with my dad, but sometimes it was very frustrating. I'd go there to want to be able to just hang out with him and talk with him. But he was always on the look, and anyone that came in, he would start striking up conversation and he would talk to him. He'd say, "This is my son, he's a pastor." And they would begin conversations, and Dad just loved to be able to share Jesus Christ and the good news. His favorite hymn. I was looking through some notes, about funeral services that we had talked about 5 years ago or 4 years ago, and one of the hymns that he wanted to have sung was one of his favorite songs is, "I love to tell the story of wondrous things above." And he would talk about this. "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love." It was just one of his favorite songs. And he did it. He just did it all the time. I heard him talking with PSW workers and nurses. We'd be on phone calls with nurses and doctors. And they would say that your dad would tell us about, God and his church. And he was just always holding forth the good news, because he wanted to serve in mission and be faithful right to the end. In Dad's final sermon at Summit Community Church that he preached here, I saw a picture of that. We're going to put it up for you. Yeah, I find it highly prophetic. For if you notice the caption just above his head, he preached from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he preached, "Building your life on a proper foundation." When I think of my father, that's what I think about. He was a man of integrity, he was a man of character, a man of principle, and a man who loved. He grew in faith, he loved in community, and he served in mission his entire life. And he did all of that with his eyes on eternity. Dad longed for heaven. He longed to see Jesus. He built treasure in heaven. And I'm very sure that when he was brought there, that he heard Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." Yeah, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And I trust that you have experienced this morning as you reflect on the life of Bob Gould. Part of the things that led to my burnout, I've shared with you before, was I was always known as Bob's son. And I worked my whole first part of my ministry trying to get out from under his shadow. But I share with you this morning, I'm deeply, deeply proud to be known as Bob's son. So would you join us in prayer? As I'd love to pray with you and for you, that the influence of my Father, the lessons we've learned, would help motivate us to live in the same way. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the life that Dad lived, for the heritage that he gave, not just to me and our family, but to so many others. And while it was difficult sometimes to share him, we know that you made him to do that. And it's with joy now we look back on that. I pray that his life would motivate us and encourage us, that we too would be people who lived in a very responsive relationship with you, that we would seek you and respond to you, O God. And that as doing so, we would grow in faith and not stop growing in faith. That we would love deeply. That, Lord, we would always be about serving in mission to strengthen your church and extend your kingdom all around this world. And I thank you for such a one. I thank you for his influence at this church. Thank you, Lord. It has been a blessing to remember him today. And I pray that I can just become half the person he was for you. And may that be motivating for all of us to do this. For all of us one day will stand before you. And we too want to hear, well done. So God, we love you. We commend him to you. We commit him to your care. We thank you that he's with you. It's not wishful thinking. It's not cultural lore. We know because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his word that he is with you in the now heaven. Safe, secure, identifiable, known. Enjoying the glory of the vast throne room and the beauty of what surrounds you now. And we know that one day, when you return, Lord Jesus, he, with all of the dead in Christ, will rise again. And you will give him a resurrected, brand new body, like all of us will, fit to live in the brand new heaven and the new earth, to love and serve and rule and explore and worship and play and enjoy you and one another and the grandeur of the new heaven and new earth. That is our hope, Lord, for Dad. It is our hope. And so we worship you today. And it's with great thanksgiving we thank you for my Father today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.